I call the regular meeting of the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors to order. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Now we'll adopt the agenda for the meeting. Are there any recommended changes or other updates?
Ms. Booker, did you want to put that item on our new business?
Yeah, I thought it was old. I said old.
No, the new business.
Okay, yeah. I would like to put the item on new business of considering rotating the chairmanship for the board. Rotating, it can be a one-year term, it can be a two-year term.
Or more, I guess. Whatever the board wants. Could be more than 2 years.
Yes, could be. But I would like to just discuss that and give you some reasons behind it.
Okay.
All right, I move that the agenda be approved with the added item under the new business.
Second.
Motion's made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. County Administrator.
And just a note, Mr. Chair, that the green agenda you've got there has got one extra item on it, the special presentations. I just added that after the first agenda was printed. But we've got several people that are retiring, and we'd like to honor them tonight. And so if the board would join me out front, I'll bring up some folks.
Yes, sir.
So I'd like to have Mr. Darius Lester come forward and Mr. Wayne Stevens, since Wayne can be here on behalf of his staff member who's retiring.
Who? Wayne Stevens?
No.
Thank you.
He's accepting the honorary Oscar on behalf of.
All right.
Right in the middle there, Darius. We have two members retiring from Fluvanna County service this year, and this month, the end of this month, and we'd like to take time to honor them today. One of them is Ms. Nell Carter from our Public Works Department, who's been there for nearly 20 years. Nell was not able to be here tonight, but we'll present the certificate to her boss, Wayne Stevens, our Public Works Director, to present to her, and we'll honor her at a staff ceremony later on. So this is a certificate of commendation to Nell Carter for services set forth in the following citation. For superior performance and commitment to excellence, serving the Public Works Department and the citizens of Fluvanna County from December 22, 1998 through April 29, 2016. During this time, Mrs. Carter carried out her duties with consummate professionalism and proficiency while always displaying a cheerful and friendly demeanor. Mrs. Carter has been an inspiration to her peers, to her colleagues, and to all who have interacted with her over the years. Her dedication, hard work, and professionalism improved the quality of life for all citizens and visitors in Fluvanna County. The County of Fluvanna is a better place because of the commitment that Mrs. Carter made to the Public Works Department and to the community as a whole. We wish Nell all the best as she begins the next chapter of her life. Presented this 20th day of April, 2016, John M. Sheridan, Chair. So we'll present that to you to pass on to Ms. Carter, and thank you very much for her service, and so we'll do that later at a staff ceremony as well. And another legend. Darius has been here for nearly 30 years and has served our county in a number of capacities, most recently and for the longest time as the building official for Fluvanna County. And we really honor his service to our county as well. He is also retiring at the end of this month. We'd like to read this certificate of commendation to Darius S. Lester, for services set forth in the following citation. For superior performance and commitment to excellence, serving as first as Fluvanna County Building Inspector and then as Building Official from August 1st, 1990 to April 29th, 2016. During his tenure, Mr. Lester was widely respected for his extensive knowledge and enforcement of building codes. He led by example and encouraged his staff to continue to gain new certifications and advocated strongly for excellent customer service. Mr. Lester carried out his duties with professionalism and proficiency, using his expertise to keep the building department organized and efficient during the busiest of times. His dedication to Fluvanna County has been an inspiration to his peers, colleagues, and staff. By his dedication, hard work, and professionalism, Mr. Lester improved the quality of life for all citizens and visitors in Fluvanna County. The county of Fluvanna is a better place because of the commitment that Mr. Lester made to his career and his community. We wish him well as he transitions into retirement. Presented this 20th day of April, John M. Sheridan, Chair. And and you're welcome to give a 20-minute speech, Darius. Well, we would like to acknowledge many of Darius' staff and former staff and friends and colleagues are here tonight to honor his service, and we really appreciate the years of dedicated hard work that he gave to Fluvanna County, and his skills and expertise and experience will sorely be missed by our county and the Building Inspections Department. So thank you very much, Darius. And we have a number of problems. We have another member who's moving on to a position in the Valley and as the new Dayton Town Manager, Mr. Bobby Popowitz. We'd like to say thank you by presenting this certificate of commendation to Robert J. Popowitz, Jr. for services set forth in the following citation: for exceptional performance and commitment to excellence while serving as Director of Community Development for Fluvanna County from March 2012 to April 2016. During his tenure, Mr. Popowitz established strong and positive working relationships with community members, business interests, state agencies, and internal departments to enhance communications and maintain an open dialogue. He brought a wealth of expertise and experience to Fluvanna County and assumed significant and broad-based organizational oversight duties during a period of extreme staff turnover and organizational change in his first months. Mr. Popowitz worked extremely well with external organizations to ensure that Fluvanna County is well known in economic development circles through meetings with key state officials and business leaders to promote the county as a viable business location and bolster agribusiness possibilities. He served as a highly respected and active participant with Central Virginia Partnership for Economic Development and assisted with the organization's successful rebranding and marketing campaign. Mr. Popowitz is a key member of the County Administrator's Water and Sewer Infrastructure Work Group. He coordinated development of water and sewer infrastructure options and led infrastructure development negotiations with potential suppliers, including the Virginia Department of Corrections, achieving Board of Supervisor approval for the agreement. Mr. Popowitz's consistent and tireless efforts to attract new businesses for job creation and to grow a more balanced tax base had a lasting positive impact on our county, and his efforts supported Fluvanna's goal to be a great place to live, learn, work, and play. This is presented this 20th day of April 2016. John M. Sheridan, Chair. We really appreciate Bobby's service as well, but he's going on to a great place, and the town of Dayton is getting a very good leader for them, and it's a place that Bobby knows well since he graduated from Bridgewater College just in a neighboring city there. So congratulations to Bobby, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, and those folks will be sorely missed. Now we'll hear from the County Administrator.
Mr. Chair, members of the Board, just a reminder to wish Mr. Weaver happy birthday in about 9 days.
Oh, man, don't lose 9 days.
Got a 56th birthday coming, I think.
Yes.
But anyway, congratulations and happy birthday in advance. A number of things to report. You may have seen on the news that Mr. Walter Hussey was one of 9 recipients of statewide awards from the governor the other day. He was presented this certificate and an award at a ceremony at the governor's mansion in Richmond. He won the statewide award for adult volunteer. And there were eight other categories that individuals or groups or companies won. But we're proud to have someone of his caliber in our county and doing such good work with our Pleasant Grove team and Parks and Rec team. And so we really congratulate Walter on that fine award. Jason Smith attended the ceremony as well with Walter and his family. And there was a record number of submissions this year, over 140 submissions for these nine awards. And we were pleased to see that Walter won the award after being nominated by our Parks and Rec department. So congratulations to him. I think you've got a copy of the brochure, the program from that ceremony at the governor's office in front of you there. And there's also already a news clip on NBC 29 yesterday about it. And actually, one of the things says, Fluvanna man wins Walter Hussey Award. But it was correct in the actual video, so maybe we have a new award named after Walter. So congratulations to him. The Pleasant Grove Park Trails team has finalized their new trail guide. You'll be seeing that soon. It will make it easier for people that visit here and use our trails, almost 20 miles of trails, to know which trails go where and what types of things are allowed on which trails. And it'll be an easy one to fold up and pop in your pocket and use for all of our visitors. And they've done some of the trail rerouting, placing new signs along the trails, and then completing some other trail maintenance projects along the way. If you haven't seen some of the news, Savannah County High School has been honored again. They again achieved a silver medal in the U.S. News and World Report's rankings as one of the best high schools in America. And the national ranking also as one of 2016's 100 best WISE high schools for teaching personal finance. There's a specific program through that organization that honors high schools across the nation for their work in teaching personal finance to high school students. Our high school here is one of those 100, which is an impressive honor. The community business forum planning is underway. It'll be probably the third week of May. We'll be getting some information out to everyone. We've got a couple sites selected, and we'll see which one is more easily accessible and available. But we'll get information to you in the next week or so about the community business forum. We'll be previewing several speakers that night that will be of interest to our local business community, and then also previewing the results of the business climate survey, and then working on the initial stages of the community business action plan to get small business and other businesses in our county to help us with identifying things that we can do to best support local business in our county. And then just a reminder to everyone, I think this has been announced and it's been in the paper, but Jason Smith has been selected as our new Director of Community and Economic Development. We'll be replacing Bobby Popowitz as he leaves. And Aaron, stand up, please. Aaron Spitzer from our Parks and Rec Department has been appointed as our Interim Director of Parks and Recreation and has already done a bang-up job on a number of topics that he's taken over just this week already. So we appreciate it very much. Thank you. And then I do want to ask the board, the Palmyra Rescue Squad Station, although the facility is not owned by the county, we support that organization, Fluvanna Rescue, and the contract providers run out of that station. There's a number of building maintenance issues that need to be taken care of that you had approved last fall that will be coming forward in different stages to fix different things in that building so it's a better workplace and a more habitable workplace. But one of the problems is they've got a lot of bugs in and out of that building more frequently than we'd like. Now, Fluvanna Rescue's having difficulty with the number of volunteers to even manage the structure of the organization. So we wanted to know if you would be willing to have exterminator services added onto the county contract just so we can get it done and taken care of and they can go on a regular basis. It's about $100 a month or so for that facility to do that, but it's sorely needed, and trying to get documents and contracts and things through Fluvanna Rescue now is just difficult because they have short staffing. And in any case, you would pay for it either through the county contribution or directly. This is not the norm. We don't normally do this for all the different stations, but this one is a little bit special case because we also have our contract crews there, and the contract falls under the county. So I just want to check and see if any objections to that.
I don't have any objections.
Okay, seeing none, we'll implement that. Just an update on the James River Water Authority project. We have received permission for access from the owners along the property down in the Columbia and Point of Fork area. survey and the due diligence work is underway. It started last Friday, and so that's moving along. And we've had actually good feedback from the residents on the communication that's going on. They get a daily update on anyone that's going to be on the property and working. And they've been pleased so far, and we hope to keep it that way. Although it still will be a disruptive project during construction, because construction projects are like that. But we're trying to be as unobtrusive as possible and still accomplish the goal of getting that project kicked off. We also are requesting a board representative to serve with some county staff as part of the selection review committee for an audit services contract. It's time to vet our audit services again. We do it at every 3 to 5 years. And so we've gotten a number of proposals in from different audit firms. And we'd like a member of the board to sit with that if someone is available. Probably be occurring the first week of May during the daytime. Anyone want to volunteer?
I'll do it.
Okay. Board okay with Mrs. Eager?
Yeah. Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Good. So Mrs. Eager, Mr. Dahl will be in touch with you and let you know schedule. And it'll probably involve a couple different meetings where we'll meet with vendors and then a follow-up meeting to review notes and then make a recommendation formally coming to the board.
Okay.
And then community cleanup day. Mr. Sheridan, you'd asked about this last week. It is this Friday, April 22nd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now, part of that's the high school opportunity that's going on, but also it's neighbors across the county that can be available to do cleanups. We've already had a number of them around the county pick up bags and do cleanups in their area. But those orange bags are available from the county offices. We've gotten them from VDOT. We can provide them to you, even deliver them to your organization if need be, and let us know when you're going to do that, and then we can give you the information on how to contact VDOT once your cleanup is done, so that VDOT then can come pick up the roadside trash bags. Just a note, if anybody thinks we don't have much trash to pick up in our county, it seems particularly seems to be a lot of trash in the last few months. But the road crew from the Central Virginia Regional Jail did a cleanup from South Boston and Union Mills, just past the lake and by the, you know, the white fence, white farmhouse on the corner there, and from there down to Highway 15, and that's only 2 or 2.5 miles down there. And they picked up 78 bags of trash just along that one stretch. And I counted 12 tires just in about a three block area. And I think there's a drop off right there in that kind of low area along Union Road. I have a feeling people are just flying by and dropping them off. So I would love to have somebody get the tag number of somebody who tossed something out, and then we can report it to the sheriff's office. But we can all do our part in helping clean up. We have we can make sure you have some brightly colored vests and these orange bags, and a pretty easy thing to do. Just be careful along the roadway, pick up the trash, put it in the bags, and then call this VDOT number, and they'll come pick up the trash along that roadside. And that can be done anywhere in our county. So, and then just want to remind the board and staff and citizens that it's pretty easy to recognize county staff and community members for good deeds and special efforts. You can jump right on the county website and hit one of these two buttons, employee recognition or the community service awards. And both of those programs are very easy to submit information on. I even know a board member who submitted one recently, and it was pretty easy. And when those come in, the employee recognition get vetted throughout the year by a group, and then we present formal awards at the annual employee picnic in September. And then the community service awards will be presented throughout the year as the constitutional officers and I vet those recommendations, present them to the board for you to review and decide on the final ones, and then we'll present a resolution honoring that individual or group here at a board meeting. So very easy to do, employee recognition and community service awards, to recognize the good deeds that many people carry out in our county. And then finally, here's your next four board meetings. You've just got the four regular meetings come up, the May meetings and the June meetings. I don't have any work sessions scheduled. If we did, we would normally do them on either May 18th or June 15th. But as topics come up, or as economic development issues come up, or we host the community business forum, we may need to do that. And also for some planning for the Zion Crossroads project, we'll need to do some vetting maybe with the Planning Commission and the board at the same time. So just keep in mind, we may need some work sessions for those types of topics. But as it stands now, just your regular four meetings coming up. Any questions I can answer for the board?
No.
Nope. Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could I, one more, Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Just a reminder. You've got a copy of these in front of you, and there's some stacks of them up here in front and some out on the stand outside. The Flavanna Leadership Development Program, one of the class projects was to create a directory of services. And so we took their work and did a little formatting on it and got these really nice brochures printed that have food resources, emergency contacts, home resources, health and medical resources in a quick, pretty easy to use brochure that can be passed out of churches or senior centers or at youth groups or anywhere in our county. So if you've got any meetings you're going to and you want to take a stack of those, we printed 2,500 of these. It only cost about $300 for 2,500 of these, so we can get them out to the community and a lot of good resources. But we appreciate the hard work of one of the Flavanna Leadership Development Program groups, and this was their class project. So came to fruition, and it's a useful tool for our community. That's all I have, sir.
All righty. Thank you. Now we'll hear updates from each supervisor regarding any meetings that they attended.
Was at the FLDP graduation ceremony. I think that was great, as always. A lot of great programs there, and terrific group. But I think we might have talked about that last time. I can't remember. The weeks are flying by. But both my daughter and my wife graduated from it, so I'm pretty excited.
From the leadership program?
From the leadership.
You're talking about?
That's right. Yeah. As well as many others. Not to take away from that.
But you've got 100% participation in your
family.
Family,
so
yes, 100%.
My dog hasn't done it, but we're working on that.
Your dog?
This is my dog.
Oh, good dog.
Aside from that, I didn't have any meetings this week.
Okay. I've attended a mini retreat with CSA in which the case managers got together and talked about how they are keeping files up to date and so forth. And that was led by Dr. Jackie Myers. It was very useful. And I think what we're going to do is we will have a full retreat, and we'll also continue to have a mini retreat so that case managers can get together and talk about issues or problems of what they're doing and how well they're doing. And I want to commend Dr. Myers for her work in making things more streamlined. I get the tracking list on my phone, on my computer, where we can see how we're moving along, because it's a lot of work that these case managers have to keep up with. So, and then I think FUSDI was in this month. I went to a FUSDI meeting. I think I left a little early, but Wayne went over with FUSDI Advisory Council some of the information he went over with us when he went over the budget and where we were and et cetera. That's about it.
Anyone?
Well, Donald and I went to the Flavanna leadership.
Yeah, we both
appreciation
attended.
Dinner.
It was very nice. I thought they gained a lot of information over the months that they had.
They certainly did.
Yes.
Yeah. And I also attended a luncheon at Monroe's Highland.
Mm-hmm.
Ashland Highland is now going to be called just Monroe's Highland. Ashland was a name that was given to that farm after Monroe was there, but Monroe called it Highland. And it was a very lovely luncheon with Robert Hurt. And then after we were to take a tour of the home, and I was the only one who wanted to go on the tour. So
yeah.
You could tell you were new.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, it was a lovely afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And several weeks ago, I attended the middle school tour. Gina Keller took us around with her staff and all. And you always pick up information and see improvements. A lot of the renovations that's being made over there, they were pointed out. Also, then I think most of us went to Piedmont Virginia Community College to dinner and how we can work together better with the college and how we can promote our children. And then, like she says, the leadership program.
Our finance committee meeting was canceled and we were postponed or moved down to next month, so that was the only meeting that I had.
I want to just add one other item. I'm a member of the Board of Trustees for the Rotary Foundation, and they approved yesterday a grant for both the Monticello, Lake Monticello Fire Department. I believe that's the annual $1,500 or over a period of 3 years. And then they also approved through the Cliff Atchell Foundation $5,000 for the middle school for a STEM lab, basically. So I want to give a shout out to the Rotary Group and the Rotary Foundation for that.
Okay. Anyone else? All righty. Thank you. We will now open our first round of public comments. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes, on topic, and directed to the board. Anyone wishing to address the board at this time?
And we have a public hearing.
Oh, and no one, anyone wishing to speak for the public hearing, please do not come. To the microphone right now. Anyone wishing to address? Okay, I'll close the first round of public comment. We will now move to the public hearing. Next item is tab L, SUP 1603, Eric McKinnon, Small Home Industry, James Newman, Planner.
Good evening, members of the board. Before you, I have special use permit 1603 for Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Barbara McKinnon. They have a request for a special use permit to operate a small home industry on A1 zone property that is 2 acres of tax map 11-13-8. The property is located in a rural residential planning area, and the county code defines a small home industry as a small commercial, professional, or light industrial use, which does not in any way detract from the adjacent agricultural or residential uses, and while clearly excluding large-scale industrial and commercial uses, must also be located within the same parcel as the residence of the owner and within 500 feet of said residence. So the proposed small commercial or professional business is the Reiki Healing of Palmyra, as well as another business known as Healthy for Life, LLC. These two businesses will operate from a single 20 feet by 30 feet by 12 foot building, which, according to the code, must be located within 500 feet of the main house. Reiki is an ancient Eastern healing tradition, while the Healthy for Life is a health company that is a franchise of the Juice Plus company, and the purpose of them would be to sell Juice Plus capsules, shakes, gummies, bars, as well as Tower Gardens. All shipping for the Healthy for Life company will be done via the website. They are not expecting any more than 1 to 3 clients at a time. There will be no outside employees, and the hours of operation will be Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. This is an image of where the house is located. It's located in a residential neighborhood, all zoned A1. And this is what the property looks like. As you can see, there is screen in front of the house with these trees. And to my knowledge, the applicant has proposed to place the building somewhere around here, and that the structure will be painted the same color as the house, so it will blend into the neighborhood. Again, this is looking towards the property. This is the house looking south down Bybee's Church Road. And again, there's screening with trees as well as forest along here. In conclusion, this is a request for a small home industry to operate both a Reiki healing business and a healthy living business. The hours of operation will be Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and the Planning Commission recommended approval 500 at their March 23rd, 2016 meeting. As for potential adverse impacts, there may be an increase in traffic entering and exiting the property. Should you have any questions, both myself and the applicant are here. Otherwise, I have the suggested motion for the board. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Okay. Hearing none, we'll open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes, on topic, and directed to the board. Anyone wishing to speak, please come to the microphone. With no one else wishing to speak, we will close the public hearing. Any questions or comments from the board?
I wonder if the applicants would want to say anything. Or
would the applicant care to speak? Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. Is there any others? Okay, do we have a motion?
I'll make the motion. I move that the Board of Supervisors recommend approval of SUP 1603, a request to allow for small home industry with respect to 2 acres of tax map 11, section 13, parcel 8, subject to the 9 conditions listed in the staff report.
Ms. Booker, before you move on,
yes, sir.
I think this is the motion that was appropriate for the Planning Commission. I think the language should be
special use permit.
No, I move that the Board of Supervisors approve SUP.
All right. So noted.
And asking for a special use permit, too. It has nothing in that statement either, asking for a special use permit.
I think that's clear, but with the number that's SUP, if you feel more comfortable adding those words, by all means, do so.
Do I need to repeat it? Or is it okay?
I don't think so.
It's fine.
Second.
Motion's been made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Next, we will move on to our action matters. Now we'll move to action matters at tab M. Fiscal year 2017 operations budget and tax rates. Mr. Eric Dahl, Finance Director.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, what we have before you is the FY17 CIP budget and 2016 tax rates. There are two action items for your approval. One is the CIP resolution, and the other is the resolution for the budget and the tax rate. We'll just go through just a quick couple slides just to kind of show you kind of where we ended up and some of the things that we've looked at this point, and if the board decides to make any changes from here. So just a few things. So Big Rock issues, Big Rock items that were in the 94-cent advertised budget. As the public knows, that's where the board ended up at the most recent point. Within that 94-cent tax rate, there's additional funding for schools. There's new positions for staff, and we'll go over some of those later. There's the county staff pay plan. There's the county staff health insurance, which the Board of Supervisors adopted. Mr. Nichols, was that 2-3 meetings ago?
Yeah, the last meeting in May.
March. And then there's the inclusion of the capital depreciation fund. So the proposed new positions that were included in the 94-cent advertised budget, there was a sheriff's deputy for $62,000, E-911 communications officer for $48,000, social services family services specialist for $48,000, the convenience center that was making a part-time staff member full-time, and there was also reducing some contract services for mowing within there too, but it was a plus up of $13,000. And then total for the library was $28,000, $16,000 for a library assistant, a new part-time library assistant, and then $12,000 additional for additional part-time temp hours for the existing library's assistants. And then there's also the question of county attorney services, whether the board wants to go contractual versus staffed. So looking at the FY17 county staff pay plan,
you have a hard copy of this in front of you, the specific pay plan.
Underneath your large budget documents, there's an 8x11 sheet with this particular chart on it right there. The board has seen a version of this. It's been fine-tuned a little bit more. Some of the options that the board had before was a 10% increase for those that were 15% below market. There were some other additional variations that during some of the work sessions that the board looked at also for those that were 10% plus below market, and then those that were 1 to 9% below market. So what we have right here is any employee greater than 15% below market, there would be a 10% increase. Those employees, and if you look at the light blue section, group 2 through 4, it was based upon a market percentage as well as years of service. So if you look at group number 2, if you have 15 or more years of service with Fluvanna County and you are currently 10% greater than your market comps, it would be a 6% increase. Going down to 3, 10 to 14 years of service, 10% greater below market, a 5.5% increase. And then number 4 was 1 to 9 years of service, 10% below market, 5% increase. What the board saw before, Mr. Nichols, what was the percentage roughly right around? I know there's some different variations of that before that we're speaking
of. They went from 1.5%, from 1% to 10% in various permutations, but we took the various discussions that you had and consolidated this. The dollar cost here is probably a little lower than what was originally talked about. About 75% of all the staff fall in those bottom two categories, 8 and 9. So there's very few staff members that fall in those above, but we're trying to get those ones that are farthest away from comps caught up so that we get back on kind of an even footing there. But the cost won't exceed anything than what you've seen already. And remember, this raise would be effective December 1st if the budget is adopted in that manner, because the state funding for these raises related to teachers and to social services staff and constitutional officer staff would be coming December 1st.
So just to kind of go further over this, like I said, group 5, 6, and 7, same concept. You know, it's tiered depending upon the years of service. And then obviously, if you're a little closer to your comp, market comp, 1 to 9%, it would go down there, 4%, 3.5%, 3%. Group 8, if you're at or above your market comp, it would be the 2% increase, which was talked about, a 2% increase for staff. And then number 9, if those staff members, if we have new staff members that were hired in calendar year 2016, or if there is any employees that were promoted in calendar year 2016 with a 5% or more increase from their prior pay, county administrator or parks and recreation set temp fees like referees, anyone in group 9, they would be excluded from the county staff pay plan. And like Mr. Nichols pointed out, group 8 and group 9 accounted for 75% of the employees fell within groups 8 or group 9. And just at this point, it would just be a matter of discussion. We're ready to go with the budget tax rate sheet, depending upon where the board wants to end up with the tax rate, with the budget. What they want to include, and we can make any changes for whatever the board wants to look at. We also have motions to go with once we're completed as well.
So on the master sheet, let me just explain a couple things on the master sheet, because there may be a little bit of confusion. If you pull out this sheet, the master budget sheet, the one that's up and down long ways, right, yes, ma'am. This is the long ways one. Uh-huh. Make sure you're looking at the front. The front has, it says version 11 up in the top left-hand corner. Okay. So on that sheet, if you look down, this is a little presumptuous, but the green column, column I, we put 92 cents in there, not because that's what you're adopting, but just because we put some placeholder numbers in there that was between the 89.9 of last year and the 94 advertised. So, and then we identified what changes there are between those and the other documents. If you look at the column H, the blue column, anything that's in green is a difference from what the county administrator's proposed budget was. So that's why we highlighted those in green. So things you talked about over the last 6 or 8 weeks, where you wanted placeholders in there for various things that you put into the 94-cent rate. Those are all identified in green in that column. And that's the difference between that column and the county administrator's proposed column, column G, the yellow one.
And those are all items that we spoke about on the budget balance sheet as well.
Right, and we can go to each one individually in the budget balance worksheet when we get there as well. But the column I is the one that we're going to be filling in on the fly tonight as you decide issues. We will make those changes in there, and that will be the adopted budget on what the numbers are, what the tax rate is, what the collection rates are, things like that. And so column I right now is an artificial column, but it'll end up being the final column once you make your decisions tonight. But remember, the blue column just shows the difference between the 94-cent rate and the initially proposed 89.9. And we can go directly to the budget balance worksheet to look at those individually if you'd like, or in whatever format you choose.
I'm sorry, say that again about the green and column H.
So column H, if you look at column H, there's a difference between, let's look at line H9, Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
So there's a green number there, 168.8. Mm-hmm. That number's different than the number that was proposed in G9.
Okay.
And so any difference between G9 and H9, or G and H, it was between the county administrator's recommended budget back in February and the advertised budget that you advertised back in the first meeting in March or something like that, middle of March. So the greens just designate the difference between column G and column H. Column I is what we're going to end up filling in. We just put some placeholders there for now.
And then column I also, the difference between H and I is the differences.
The yellows.
The yellow.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay, now when we look at this one.
The CIP?
No.
Oh, budget balance worksheet?
CIP.
Okay,
yeah.
So.
Balance.
Yeah.
Pardon?
No, it's the
budget balance worksheet.
Budget balance.
Okay, so on the budget balance worksheet, remember we set over here in this left-hand side. If you look in your top left-hand corner of that sheet, it shows a 94-cent tax rate there and a 97.5% collection rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's just based on the advertised numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's important is when you go to the right, these columns out here, the 89.9, essentially the county administrator's budget, except the rate of collections changed. It used to be 96.5. You changed it on there as proposed to 97.5, so that's why there's some excess revenue there. In the next column, you've got a 91 budget in a certain form, a 91.4, a 92, a 93, and then the dollars that were included in the 94 advertised budget. Oh, I'm sorry, 18. The 94 budget is on the front page.
The only difference between the 93 and the 94 is we just put the additional pennies.
Correct.
Okay, so now, that's the difference in the yellow, not purple. You put that additional there, which made it 196.24.
Yes, down at the bottom on line 71.
Uh-huh.
Any differences that weren't identified by the board to go to a specific function,
okay,
we put those excesses in the capital depreciation fund on line 71.
Okay.
On the budget balance worksheet. Yes, ma'am.
This one.
So, going from 91.4 to 92 was an amount of $170,630 in addition that we put in the capital depreciation fund?
Depending on which ones we covered, it's about $170,000,
okay,
the difference between 91.4 and 92.
Okay.
Largely that went into that capital depreciation fund or anything else you had previously identified.
Okay.
With the schools.
Yep.
You have $600,000 now.
Right, $600,000 plus $100,000 in my budget.
But that was not CIP stuff. That was just in our budget.
$100,000 in my budget, mm-hmm, $600,000 added on by yours, and $300,000 separate in the CIP.
So
$1 million total.
So the school is getting $700,000. And then $300,000 in the CIP.
For IT.
And then $100,000 for renovation of the bill, $100,000 for renovations. That's still in the CIP.
If that's approved by the CIP, yes.
Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. So the school is getting $1,000. I mean, $1 million.
$1 million more, excluding the any other CIP things that may be there, like the potential renovation dollars for things that the school board admin building. But in my original budget, because we didn't have all the school figures yet, there's only a 100,000 increase from last year.
Okay.
You've added 600,000 here in this block right there. So that's a total of $700,000 over operational funding from last year. And then 300,000 new funding for information technology designated specifically in the CIP.
Okay.
So $1 million difference over above last year's funding.
I would like to you to pull up the school budget, page 24. And just to make an observation, I think it's 24. Okay. When we look at the school budget, and I know we don't go categories or anything like that, but if you look at compensation, which is the teacher's pay and et cetera, and you look at health insurance, if you add those two together, you're talking about $650,000. We're giving them $700,000. That's helping them with anything else below that. My concern is the staff that they wanted. I think in the technology one, there's a staff member. Would you pull it up a little bit? I think it's a staff.
I think there were four staff members.
Who is it? It says something additional. My bifocals not working.
Right here, the 48706.
Yeah. And then I don't know where the psychologist was. And why I'm saying this is because as board members, we serve on different boards and commissions. And our purpose is to learn what those boards and commissions are doing so that can help us make better decisions. I do a lot of work with the CSA. I know we have 75 children that we are working with now, and those are not families. I mean, these are a lot of people. I also know that the Abrams Academy is helping us to save money by doing some things with children which we would ordinarily put outside of the community in some type of I don't want to use the word institution, but a boarding school to help them with their problem. The school desperately needs another psychologist. And they're not going to get it with $700,000. Now, if we put out of that 165, I don't know what, if we may not even go 92, but anyway, if we had any money left over, then we could give that. And we don't know why they're going to spend it on psychology or not. I'm aware of all of that. And I also know that as they begin to hire next year, they will gain some funds even when they're hiring, because they may hire somebody with less experience will come in at a lower rate. But if they don't get that psychologist this year, I don't know if they get it next year. So I guess I'm just advocating to help to give them a little bit more so maybe they can get the positions that they need. And we know how crucial technology is. It would be a criminal if we don't do top-notch technology for our kids. If you're looking at the news tonight, you saw Al Marquette's at the science fair, those kids are inventing things for undeveloped countries. They are using technology and engineering, and we need to make sure that our schools don't fall behind in those areas. That's just my little opinion.
Anyone else?
Well, I definitely share Mrs. Booker's concerns about that. I think, you know, when we look at, and we're all proud of the U.S. News and World Report, Silver Star, But just to, I was looking at how that methodology is used. A couple things matter. You have to be at least 21 and over points on the college readiness exam, which is essentially the number of people that have passed, percentage of people that have passed either AP or IB classes. And so the maximum is 100. We're at 24, which is great. We're a few points above, but that's pretty nominal. And then to rank in the top 2,300 schools, we're ranked at 2,100, which is, you know, not, is puts us at the very outer edge, if you would, of maintaining that Silver Star accreditation, which I think adds value to the community and to the school system and is important to maintain. Further, when you look at, you know, the changes that are happening in our society, especially in the areas of technology, STEM, and readiness from that standpoint, we're still lagging. We're lagging significantly in that area. And our schools have been, you know, essentially strangleholded for the last several years. It's not going to be any easier next year, I recognize that, or the year after that. It's going to be a few years before we're really able to fund the schools at a level where they can have real STEM programs, not just at the high school level, but also at the middle school level, and starting in elementary. So, you know, this is a year where we were told that if we, you know, raise the tax rate, we're going to have this outcry of people. I think we've had one person say we shouldn't, and one person say we should. So the outcry isn't there. We've also examined potential other sources of revenues that we decided not to explore at this point in time to maintain the tax rate revenue. But I think it would be misguided on the part of the board to not increase to provide them. The schools with the opportunity to hire some of those additional positions. We've been told both by CSA and by the schools and by the sheriff that early intervention with children that are suffering is important, and we know that those costs at the CSA level can be really high. So I'm very much in favor of meeting that additional psychologist from that standpoint. So for those reasons, I agree with Mrs. Booker that even though I'm not a big fan of kicking the can down the road, as I refer to the CIP or the, what's the line that we have for that? The CIP. Not the CIP, what's that
capital
line item?
Appreciation.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That fund,
right,
exactly.
Yeah.
I do think that's important. Mm-hmm. And that would we would be able to meet both of those things if we went to the 93-cent or 92.5-cent, I think, if we went as far as that. But if we are going to stick to trying to stay under 90, you know, at 92 or right about there, then I think that Mrs. Booker is right in pointing out that we could move part of that capital depreciation fund into the school budget from that standpoint. And finally, I will say that for the additional $6,000, Frisbee golf would be a welcome addition to the community, and I am still a big advocate of that. So. I think
that
would bring in tourism.
Some fundraising.
Well, I might have to do that. So maybe I'll get a grant from the Rotary Foundation to do that. So seeing as we can't seem to find that in our budget, another small item that we could do to show that we're actually making a difference in our community. So those are my two thoughts. This has been a hard work budget. I know there's differences of opinions, but it's not going to be any easier. And it's time that we just don't stand still as far as the schools go, and I think as far as some of the other items that we're doing in our county as well, too.
Ms. E.
I would like to stay at 89.9. I've been saying that through this process. We've spent a lot of money, and we're also the highest tax rate in the area, and I think that we need to slow down and let the other counties catch up so that we can be more competitive, our growth rate. At one time, we were the second fastest growing county in the state. Now our growth rate is below 1%. So I think that we need to just hold up here until we can let the others catch up, or we can figure out something else to do, stop building new buildings or to cost more money in our so I'd like to stay at 89.9.
Yeah, I certainly feel the same way. There's never enough money to meet all the demands, and there's never any end to it. So you can go to where you want to, but but I'm sure not going to raise the rates for the taxpayers of Fluvanna County. It seems like they have very little representation. So I'm not going to be moving around on this rate.
What do you mean they have very little representation?
I mean they have not organized or vocalized. That's what I mean.
I think a lot what of people I hear have out given in, up.
Huh?
I think a lot of people have given up.
Well, sure they've given up.
Trying to talk to the board.
That's the reason you don't hear anything anymore.
Just a speculation. Well, very general statement.
I spend a lot of time in the community talking to everybody. And when we were the second fastest growing community in the state, I think a big part of that was because of the build out at Lake Monticello.
Absolutely.
And once that got full, we had no other spaces. And it also, with that build out, came increased population in schools and increased funding that had to be done in those areas. So I've the entire time, I've talked to people throughout the community, and it's been back and forth. They don't want us to go high. Most of them tell you they don't want us to stay the exact same. I haven't had anybody look at me and say, lower. And that's just in my experience. And as most of the folks in this room will testify, I like to talk. In fact, most days you come into E.W. Thomas's and you'll see me sitting there. And I think when I started a month ago, right, wrong, or indifferent, I came up with the idea of 91-4 in my mind. I think that if we're there, I think we get everything we're asking for. We're not going to get pipe dreams, but we're also not going so high that we're taking away people's pockets. And that's just my opinion on that one.
I think that we've been trying to attract businesses to our county.
Yes, ma'am.
And businessmen will look at what our county tax rate is and make that a part of their decision whether they're going to come here or not. And if we have the highest tax rate, and they also know that we raise it every year, if I was a businessman, I would look elsewhere. So you have to, and maybe the answer is we'll have to give incentives to businesses to bring them here. But that's not going to help our tax rate if we have to do that for very long.
I mean, you know, I have a business. I have it in Charlotte, in Albemarle. I pay a B-poll tax there. It costs me $5,000 a year. You don't have to pay that tax here. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why you can come and live and have a business out in Fluvanna County. We talk about 89.9 and being the highest, or one of the highest, but you know, if you raise 2 cents in Albemarle, which is what they propose to do, that 2 cents is actually going to cost you quite a bit more than the same 2 cents does in Fluvanna. That's because the differential in both the values of the home and the 2 cents that they have there raises a whole lot more money than the 2 cents that we have here. So they get more services for the 2 cents, it costs them more money. We get less services for those 2 cents and it costs us less money. So to try to stay par on with counties that have different population sizes, different economic bases, and so on is really not 100% accurate. Again, there were other ways that we could explore to reduce the tax rate. We chose not to do that at this particular point in time. But there are other ways to do that if we want to remain competitive. And I do think that the big challenge this year is we're not going to have it any easier next year. So how do we move forward? How do we make that small incremental change for our county that says that we're committed to the core services and we're not being penny-wise and pound foolish? 91-4, we're not going to have a unanimous vote on this budget. So in my opinion, 91-4 and not having the additional $100,000 to solve some of the school needs is really, you know, is really a shame because we're not going to move forward on the schools for quite some time. And so I think this is the year where we can make that extra jump. I don't see a number of people that are screaming bloody murder. And I think we've got a good budget from that standpoint. I'd love to have everybody say yes to it, but we're not going to have everybody say yes to it. So,
I All right, any other comments or questions?
Nope, I don't guess so.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Well, let's go first and fill in numbers so we know what resolution you're recommending approval to. So we'll just take notes on these so we know, but here's the resolution. And it's going to take what we need to know is where you want to head. Eric will then load some numbers and check them to make sure and move on to another discussion and then come back and vote on that, because we need to actually show the numbers on the screen and make sure we've got the tax rates and the dollars matching up exactly. Because remember, we're still sitting in the document at 94.
Well, but that certainly was sort of an inflated figure to start with, basically for advertising purposes.
Agreed. I don't disagree at all, sir, but our numbers in the resolution are based on 94, and therefore we have to plug the numbers in based on what you tell us, see what those dollars are, and then acknowledge those, even though you're going to approve the resolution that will have those numbers in them.
But we had some figures worked out very close to 91.4 before.
Basically, if you look at the BOS adopted column right now, it's basically 91.4 plus money going to the capital reserve.
If you look at column I is pretty close to the 91.4. If you took the 6/10 out and took it down to 91.4, we would decrease those funds out of the capital depreciation fund, which on that document is on line 91. So, for instance, if you'll just follow me for a second, look on the top of the screen. If I change, can I change it right on this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So if I change this one to 91.4, that's what you've got to make up. That's what you've got to take out of that column to reach 91.4.
$13,000 if we got rid of capital depreciation.
Yeah, $156,000 is the capital depreciation.
Well, $157,000 close.
Yeah, and so you've got to find another, $13,000 or $14,000.
What, just kind of curiosity, well, why is the ZXR wedge on 17 at 177 and then on...
Because remember...
Isn't that a fixed number? I mean, aren't we kind of...
For fiscal year 17, the debt service on that right now, because we're not going to have a full year of principal and interest payments, the actual debt service will be $177,000 versus the $275,000.
Yeah, remember about 3 weeks ago, I presented updated figures on the interest rate that VRA is running at now, and the timing of the debt. So in the first year, it would be an interest-only payment, a partial payment, and it would be about half of the normal payment. So $98,000 decrease in fiscal year 17 off your normal $275,000. And remember, $275,000 is based on a 4.5% interest rate. The last one I showed you, I think, was at 3.65.
Something like that.
Yeah, and so it's still in flux, and we're still on track to make the spring pool. We just have to have all those figures done by May 3rd, and we're
in pretty good shape there, are we, so far?
We're very close, and because we've got access to the properties, we're in pretty good shape, and we're getting final figures from the contractors, but they still have to finish that due diligence to make sure there's not, a Tyrannosaurus Rex buried underneath the ground there, that would make a big difference. So we have to agree to those dollars and get them in the VRA.
Not buried.
Yeah.
Well, if there is, we'll be a tourist attraction for a while, so that'd be good, but... but anyway, we'd have to find, $12,000 or $13,000 or $14,000 besides that capital depreciation, or realign it from someplace else.
My bad.
In that case, I'd just grab $13,000.
Okay, so if we. Was it 150? What was it, Eric? 156.824.
156.8.
Okay, so now we got to find 13806, and think you can pull it out of the staff pay pound wedge, because I think, based on our machinations today, I think we'll be okay. So of that 130, I think you could pull it out of there.
Okay, so what are you doing?
Well, trying to get this number up here, Miss Booker.
Okay.
One of the ladies on that end. We're still, if you wanted to stop at the 91.4, you're still 13,806 in the hole. We have to be at zero. And so I would suggest, Mr. Dahl, Ms. Parrish, I think we're okay on that one.
So that would mean that the school would be getting
700,000.
They would be getting what?
And 100,000.
The 1 million. Yeah. 700,000 in operational cash.
So the school would not be getting any additional?
No.
Not at 91.4, no. Additional from what was there. Was it 13,806?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. I make a motion that we do that. 91.4.
So what, just so that the audience knows and you know, what you'd be making a motion for is to adopt a tax rate at 91.4 with this dollar value, 78,205,368, and on the document, we would fill in these numbers that match up exactly to the numbers on that column that you see, and that the real estate rate would be 91.4, public service corporation would be 91.4, mobile homes 91.4, personal property remaining at 435, machinery and tools remaining at $2. And then we would adjust these numbers based on this final column right there. They adopted at 91.4, a 97.5% collection rate for real estate, 93.5% collection rate on personal property.
I still think it's the wrong thing, but I'll make that motion.
We have a motion made by Mr. O'Brien. Do I have a second? Motion made by Mr. O'Brien and seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Fails 3-2.
I make a motion that we go to 92.
You gotta move this staff.
So I'll show you on here, 92, take it back up, that puts this excess up here of 176.30 that needs to be spread to somewhere, whether it's to fund balance or to capital depreciation fund or to schools or to whatever. We would need to align that in some expenditure.
I'd like to put the $13,000 back in this plan state for the staff plan wedge.
Unless we say
you don't need it.
We can, but we probably don't need it.
Okay, that's
because
good.
Of the
and
rehash
I'd like to put
we
that
showed
into
you.
The Parks and Rec budget.
Okay, so Parks and Rec.
That's right now in there, 20,000.
Oh, that's right.
It was at 20,000?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the 92, yes.
Oh, then skip that. Then don't put that in there.
Let me just check something here quick.
I thought the 92 was still at 2,000.
No, the 92 down here, sir, if you look at this line,
okay, then
in the 92 and 93, it included those dollars.
Sorry, thank you. Skip that, okay. Please. So then let's put 120, Mrs. Booker, into the schools.
Well, we can't do that now because the motion hadn't seconded nothing.
No. For the 92, we're making a new
All you're doing now is discussing a 92 option and what
right.
it would look like.
Right.
You haven't made a motion for
right.
it.
Right. So do you, I mean, to that degree, we've got 170 left over
right
now. So we're going to capital appreciation. I think you were and I were both advocating to put some of that into the schools to get the schools from 700,000 to 800,000 or 600,000 to 700,000. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you'd like to do, Mrs. Booker? So put 100,000 more into the school there?
Yeah.
Aren't they already at 700,000?
No, not in the 92, ma'am. They're at 600. Well,
we need a second.
Yes, $700,000 total, but the numbers you've been seeing on here are what you plussed up above my 89.9 budget. So they're at 700 now. You've only plussed them up 600,000. The 100,000 was part of my core base budget. So I think what Mr. O'Brien was talking about was taking it to 1.1 million total.
Yes.
One from mine, seven from yours, 300 in CIP.
Okay, so do I have to make the motion all the way?
Well,
we still got to finish.
We haven't spread it out yet, so let me go up to schools here or down to schools.
And then the balance in CIP.
And. I'm sorry, yeah, sorry. Thanks. Good catch.
I mean, that's just my suggestions. I'm open to other suggestions.
I'm going to go ahead and add that back on, Eric, so we've got the trail there. Something's off on that.
We can always go to 91.99.
Oh, that's right. That was the 94. Yeah. Got it. Okay, so now you're at 70,630 to the good.
Which would go into
capital depreciation.
I find it odd that we're having trouble putting out or distributing money when, if we're having trouble with that, why do we need it?
I'm not having any trouble.
Oh, I guess not.
We're,
oh, you are. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm just soliciting other people's recommendations. I'm not.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I recognize that you and I are at odds on that.
So, if you really don't have any place to put it,
Well, so you would recommend being at 91.99 as an example?
I don't know. I don't recommend you doing this, but.
Right. No, I mean, I think that's in part why that capital fund is valuable, because we're essentially putting that towards future CIP needs. So it's really not being spent as much as being attributed to reducing CIP needs and reducing
So now the capital depreciation fund is at?
77,000 or so.
No.
70,000.
Oh. 70,000. Oh, good. Okay.
But, you know. I'm in favor of that particular fund. I think Mr. Weaver is in favor of that fund as well, too.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, but we could go to 91.99 or something like that and not have that in there. I just don't think that really changes a whole lot.
No, sir, doesn't.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second it.
We have a motion made by Mrs. Booker and seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes nay. That one fails 2-3.
So I guess we could go to 93.
Or you could go to a dollar.
We could go to a dollar, you're right. We could go to 93, or we could go to
91.5.
So I just want to be clear.
13,000 is made up.
I just want to be clear that you are not in favor of a psychologist for the school, or for a TRO, or for the two additional.
I don't think we decide where that money goes. I think they're getting $1 million additional dollars, and I think $1 million additional dollars is a fair amount of money.
I believe that when we asked them specifically, they said that that would probably be a limitation if we didn't go to that extra level. So,
all you got to do is look at their budget.
So let's eliminate the $70,000 from the capital appreciation fund and change the rate accordingly, and I'll make a motion for that.
One note on the schools, find it here. On the one benefit here is that the dollars for the and the pay plans are based on July 1st start at a 1.5% average raise. The state isn't going to provide them on funds until their portion of the 2% until December 1st. So there may be some benefit for this fiscal year. Won't necessarily help them out of years.
But if you look at their total budget, it was down to 1.6. Yeah. That was their budget, 1.6. And we're talking about 1.1.
I mean, the schools have repeatedly told us that when they don't get the operational budget that they're really looking for, they focus on satisfying existing personnel's needs. And in this case, it means that, you know, in essence, they get a 1.5% raise and they remain neutral on their health insurance. That's all we're really doing for the schools at a $600,000 budget for the most part. And so it doesn't move forward, which is going to be an increasing challenge in upcoming years. So what does that change our rate to? 91.875? 91.7.
Okay. 91.7. And that doesn't give the schools anything extra?
It does.
No, it still gives them the 100,000.
Oh, it does? Okay. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Got any idea on 13,000 there? No, to where to pull it, because 91.7 is, it's 15,000.
So reduce the schools by $14,000 and we'll stay at 91.7.
And she's going to say the pay plan, which that they've got that extra there.
Yeah, I think we need all this.
I make a motion for 91.7.
Second.
Motion's been made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor of 91.7?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
And chair votes aye. Okay. Motion passes 3-2.
Thank you.
Next action matter. MC. Now we'll look at action matters at tab MC. Fiscal years 2017 to 2021 capital improvement plans. Mr. Dahl.
Hold on just a second, Mr. Chair. What? Right. And so these figures, the 78,296.83, plus individual group figures in the different categories, is what will go in this resolution. And as soon as we load these figures in it, we'll make sure you get a copy of it, but it'll be the official record based on that column, this green column, column I, at 91.7. And so we'll spread those figures specifically into this document. So instead of 78,915,765 that's there, it'll be the other figure of 78,296.83 and then the various breakdowns of that down through the resolution. Okay, CIP. So, in the CIP, you've got a couple things that need to change already. The capital depreciation fund that's there, that was a wedge space holder there from the 94 budget, so that would be zeroed. I do want to bring to your attention that there are, not that you have to spend every dime we've got, but that there are proffer dollars available in case some of these, specifically these parks and rec things, these items that are down here to the side, those things might will fall into the proffer funds that are available. And you've got 56,500 in proffer funds, but for instance, one of the shelters near the ball fields or the multifunction pavilion for like farmers market and other things, or those types, you could fit some of those into that 56.5 proffer funds if you chose to.
I wouldn't worry about the proffer funds, leave it like it is, yeah, and then you have a windfall to head into next year.
They don't have to be. They don't have to be spent.
I agree.
No, I don't intend that you spend it. I just have to point out to you that you have proffer funds available and what they're for, and then you can choose to use them or not choose to use them.
But they're not set to expire.
No. So the remaining things that are in the CIP included the library and public safety building portable water system, the the fire detection system in this building, the upfront upgrades to the treasurer's building, mostly on the cosmetic and lighting and safety issues on the front rather than a major renovation.
Yeah.
The computer-aided dispatch system. Now, we don't know for sure what the final dollars will be on that CAD system, but again, if the dollars aren't spent, it stays in the fund balance. It can't be spent for another purpose other than that purpose that you voted on and adopted. And then there's a number of items down here in the fire and rescue. Two school items that you added was the $300,000 for the information technology and $100,000 for the beginning of renovations at the school board office. And then in the...
But that, what?
I'm sorry, sir.
You want to explain on that $100,000 for the renovation because, you know, you're talking about other plans later. How's that going to be used, that $100,000 for the school?
I honestly don't know.
Make that decision, the school?
You make the decision to appropriate the money. The schools then present a proposal for that. The proposal was for $1.5 million for renovation.
They might not want to do that.
They may not, but this board decided to leave $100,000 there to get started, whether it's for cosmetic things or life safety things or heating or whatever. It was a seed planted is the way it was presented to here. I don't know what to advocate for. I still think the right thing to do long term is to start planning for replacing those aging facilities, but of course that means...
But you're talking about another large investment.
Yes, sir.
And what was that figure again, approximately?
Somewhere in the $7 to $10 million range, I'm assuming at this day and age, because a number of 10 years ago it was a different figure. But I'm assuming if you consolidated the various buildings on Main Street, the home facilities, and then school administration and other things into there, in the $7 to $10 million range.
Yeah, I understand that maybe they would just as soon stay where they are, or think they could live with it.
I don't know.
Some of the talk that I've heard. So, you know, I don't see how we can continue to go into debt, more debt.
I'm not sure how they can continue to live in the building without some upgrades and maintenance.
Okay.
But yes. I mean,
that's an issue to be determined in future.
Absolutely. Well, yes.
We'll wait for an earthquake to come. You know, we'll collect the money.
Well, unfortunately, if that unfortunate thing happens, we may have injuries that didn't happen the last time, so I don't want to wish for that.
I hadn't thought about that, yeah.
Trust me, sitting in a trailer and seeing that roof shape.
Kind of scary stuff.
I thought about it.
I had all the dishes fall out of my cupboards, literally.
Yes, sir, I'm sure. That roof was shaking out.
I mean, there's no good answers to a county that has a lot of aging infrastructure, but you just spent $50,000 last meeting for upgrades to the Commonwealth's Attorney's Building, because you have to do those life safety upgrades. You don't have much choice, but you know, whatever the next thing will be, the next $25,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 bill, it's going to mount up, and sooner or later we might be looking back and saying, boy, I wish. But
that's an analysis that we need to make, and considering what the interest rates are, that will all be involved in that decision. And I haven't seen any of that yet.
We've presented to you. We gave you a list months
ago. Yeah, but those were estimates, pretty much.
So the only way to get you a firm figure is to design a building and pay for the design.
Oh, we're going to have to know more than, I think, what we had. So.
Okay. So I just need direction from the board on what you need.
So what is it? What is the CIP total for?
The total is there at top, 94,73,750. Because it includes all these items
right
down here. The things that are normally included in the cash funding and the other things that are in fund balance or in debt service. Now the big hunks of that are these two, the JRWA and the Zion Crossroads project. Those are not existing debts. Those are not approved debts. They are placeholders for a project that you've given design approval to. Or that the JRWA will be taking out debt for that you have got a debt service payment for. So these numbers added to prior year's numbers come up to the total of what the estimates for those projects are. But Eric, all these except for that 377 are included in the 91.7.
Correct.
So
If we go down to the 917 budget.
So any of these numbers change?
You see, thing is, you don't have that.
The other budget sheet
So that's 7847.
Yeah, they don't do it. They don't kind of spend it.
Okay. Right here. I'm sorry. 9470. Yeah. So 9473750 is what you've been looking at on this page right here. So that includes all these items in those columns. Now, before you make any decisions, let me just go show you the fund balance options. This top building, this top line is grayed out because that's already been committed. The 49150, which was for the Commonwealth Attorney's Building repairs, and then these items here are things we think are likely, and those are the best estimates we have for the term for the immediate term. These items. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep. So if you use that, the CIP dollars that were there, including the Zion Crossroads dollars and the dollars for the JRWA, this is where you're going to be at if you come down and pay the CIP that's looked at on another sheet, plus these other likely have to do's. What you'll have left is $5 million. Now, staff has recommended all along that you contribute a very significant portion of that to the Zion Crossroads project as cash rather than as debt service financing.
You talk about the $7 million.
Yes. Now, remember, the overall estimate for the Zion Crossroads project as it stands right now based on the preliminary engineering report was $7.1 million. $575,000 of that you've already set aside as cash, and that's funding the initial part of the design and the preliminary engineering report. Secondly, that $7.1 million did include significant contingency dollars, so we're not as worried about having to go find a bunch more on top because the contingencies were included in there as well as the project management dollars in that 7.1. So in August-September timeframe, is that still pretty accurate for design? So late summer, early fall, you'll have a design, so you'll know what the project costs in what segments, and you'll know whether that 7.1 is accurate or it's less than that. I don't think it'll be much different than much higher than that, because it was a pretty solid estimate to begin with. But we don't know until the design's done. But 575 was set aside. You put away a couple million last year as reserve, and you put $4 million in this year's reserve. But what you've got available, if you funded these things here, down to the green, what you'd have left is $5 million in your fund balance as it stands now, without any plus ups because of tax rate increase. The $5.5 million there, we would strongly recommend you use 3.5 or 4 or 4.5 million of that towards that Zion Crossroads project once you figure the price out. That will keep the debt service down significantly. And the original dollars were for the E911 project. You should only be using those dollars for real live, no kidding, big dollar capital projects, not for some quick squeeze. So, but I mean, you've got pretty good options here. You've got these things. Here's the CIP you want to do. You've got these things that are likely to happen in some form of those dollars, but you still have $5 million there, most of which you can dedicate towards the Zion Crossroads debt service instead of debt service cash.
So calling them on the capital improvement plan adds up to the 2.648750.
Yeah, if you take this the 6.25 out, is it the 6.25 plus?
Yes.
Let me add it all up here quick. You just go from here down, all the way down to there. What am I hitting wrong? Oh, I'm sorry, I got the totals in there. So these plus these plus those. 3.223, but remember, the things in the first column, that 575,000, is cash funded in your budget. So you're only talking about
Okay, so the top column, you know, M3 is a sum of all the items in the row. I mean, in that column, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the 2648 is what you're funding out of fund balance. The 575 is cash in your tax rate, and then the 6.25 would be future borrowing or future cash payments. So on this fund balance option, that's what the 2648 here is in that block.
And that's not a double up then on the that school board office renovation as opposed to Carrie's Brook, okay. No. Social services, I got you. And the floor covering for the school is $100,000. That was, I'm just making sure we're not doubling up on that amount for the.
Yeah, it was $200,000 there, but I think there's still $100,000 that hasn't been executed yet from last year's CIP. So again, to balance this budget this year on the one that I initially presented to you, there was $200,000 request there. We moved $100,000 out to fiscal year 18 and left $100,000 there because there's still $100,000 that wasn't executed yet from last year. Now, I'm not answering on behalf of the schools saying it wasn't needed. I slid a lot of stuff to the right just to fit it into a budget. But in that case, it seemed more reasonable because there was already $100,000 there dedicated to flooring that hadn't been executed yet, so they still had some projects to do. If you keep adding money in the same year and you can't get the project done, you've just set it aside, but you haven't accomplished anything yet. So.
Unfortunately, with some of the schools, it's a timing issue.
Yeah,
when
much harder.
The budget and the funds are appropriated for July 1, they're kind of behind schedule if they don't start doing any type of renovations as soon as the school year ends, or if they wait until July 1, they've lost about
a lot of time. And in the past, there have been occasions where the schools have come and asked for money early that you appropriated for the following fiscal year, but you transferred that money to the prior fiscal year. We did a budget adjustment so they could start the project with later approved money by moving in earlier, just so they can fit their timing of the summers. Because again, by July 1st, you know, once they award a contract after July 1st, your summer's gone, largely so. So that may be the case this year. The school system may want to do that if that meets their timing.
Okay. And these are all essentially considered priority one items.
Yes, almost everything up there was a priority one when classified by Mr. Stevens, our public works director, or the highest priorities from the Fire and Rescue Association, or from, you know, from any area it came from. The only ones we didn't, and Planning Commission prioritized, we have those numbers hidden off here, but we have those as well. The only one that we didn't really take many priority ones or any priority ones was from Parks and Rec. So all these things in pink here to the right were requested in 17.
That was my next.
Because of the dollars, I slid them to the right in 8. And you can see it includes these items to the left that are highlighted here. And that's why I pointed out that you had some proper funds available. You can't use the proper funds for many things, but for schools and recreation, they're usually pretty wide open for that. And in this case, and you can't use them for ongoing maintenance either in most cases. So in this case, some of those things would fit into that category nicely. That's why we pointed out that you had some proper funds available, since nothing had been funded for Parks and Rec.
And the fire rescue, $410,000, I'm just noting, I'm not questioning the need for it, I'm just noting that the following year in 2018, that gets reduced, but of course that goes up significantly in 2019. How does that work?
Yeah, it's all phased on what big truck. It's all phased on what vehicles on the sequence for replacement for ambulances, fire trucks, rush trucks, things like that. It's just based on the FRA has a master plan that shows when they replace those types of vehicles. And once in a while it gets delayed by a year or two, but we try to stay pretty close to the schedule for the replacement schedule. This one includes a A brush truck and Amherst, right, I believe.
And are those rechassis or replacements?
It's not a rechassis, it's a replacement.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's...
If a budget season always makes me sick, I'm just going to say.
What the heck happened? Something's goofy with this. So it's an ambulance for Palmyra, for Fluvanna Rescue, and brush truck, brush 10 replacement for Palmyra Fire Station.
Where'd the rescue squads be replaced?
Old 46 and okay. Old 47. One is out in the parking lot here for sale, and it's one of the remaining ones for replacement. Now, just a note, I haven't even sent out the details on it yet, but there was a non-injury ambulance accident the other day where the ambulance fell out of gear while the crew was going in to the patient, and we think the ambulance might be totaled. Now, it's one of the ones that was going to be replaced, and so this is pretty important right now, it went rolled off the side and into some trees and was damaged pretty severely. Fortunately, no one was in the ambulance and no one got hurt. The patient wasn't in the ambulance yet, but that's all the more reason why this one needs to be replaced. Yeah, trees are hard.
Yeah,
they don't move very fast or easily.
I saw it coming to the windshield.
So anyway, three pieces in your CIP, the cash, which is the normal things we put in there, although it's $100,000 less than what we have normally been doing. I reduced the school's capital reserve maintenance fund at the beginning of this budget season because they had about $200,000 left in their CRM, and it was just one place I found where we had some money left that we might not get slipped too far, although I hate to do that too many years. So we only left $100,000 there. And then the rest was the fund balance, that 2.6, and the 6.25 for the water project.
So my papers say 9.8 million, but it's really 9.4.
It was 9.8 because remember, it had up here at the top this $377,000 in that brown block for capital appreciation. That was at the full 94 cents.
Okay.
So we decreased that. Now it took it down to 9.473. That's the one right there. Mm-hmm. And the actual fund balance portion of it is this 2.648.
But the 6.25 that you've got for borrowing,
sure.
Does that include ZXR there? No, that doesn't include ZXR.
It does. ZXR is right here, and that's JRWR.
You're further really recommending that we apply next year money from the fund balance to reduce that, is what you're also saying.
Yeah, when this fall, you're going to have a formal design presented to you that'll tell you the scope of the project, the phasing of the projects, the different legs of the project that you can do, and the full cost of this project. If you choose to go forward and approve that project in whatever form, whatever you're going to spend on that, I would use as much of this $5 million as possible towards that JR Design Crossroads Water and Sewer System project. I would absolutely not recommend using that money for a quick fix on something unless it's just an absolute emergency. That money was set aside for big things. Now, this $750, that's largely money for the big project, the radio project tower. It's just we're going to do the project a little different way, which will end up saving us money long term. So you're really talking about you've got $6 million here. Well, then the fire hydrants, that's a pretty strong public safety thing that has been included as part of the JRWA. That's another couple hundred. The JRWA site engineering is just because of the delays and the move to a new site. I think it will be less than that, but I've got a wedge there for it. And the JRWA debt reserve, I've said that all along, but now remember that money, I'd recommend you cash fund that. Both counties have to put in the debt reserve for that, but you also could get that money funded back out of the debt proceeds. But why would you want to finance a debt reserve when you could pay that cash and earn interest on it during that period, during the term of the loan? So I wouldn't recommend financing that. So you've got a significant
flexibility in depending which way we go.
Indeed.
If we approve the budget as it.
And we may be coming back to you with other financing or lease options for the radio project, because Eric has been investigating various other alternatives to the existing lease. We may be able to take the tower build cost and the lease dollars that we were going to pay to Motorola and finance that at 2% or less for the same period of time, because there's other financing alternatives. So in the coming weeks, you'll get a lot thrown at you, but it will all be in an effort to best use these dollars in the lowest and most cost, the best way and most cost-effective way possible that gives you the maximum flexibility.
And part of that recommendation of financing is the XR with fund balance was potentially just reallocating or paying off some early debts as well. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, you could also use some of that cash to pay off early debts, but as Eric has pointed out before, the three debts we were talking about were a 3%, a 3.98, and a 2.64 with a small penalty, but those debts will also be paid off 1, 2, 3 in the next 6 to 7 years, a couple earlier on and one a little longer. So they're on the way down now, as well as some other debts. Now, of course, you'll be replacing them with, you know, a fire truck here and a fire truck there and things like that. But what the best use of dollars is probably for a big capital project that you would normally have to finance at 4% over 30 years. If you don't finance that, you can save $3 million. Well, here. Yeah, so like right here, let's say 6.5, oh shoot. So let's say 6.5 million, let's be optimistic and say it's at 4%. Okay, so 6.5 million at 4%, which is the remaining cost of the project as it's currently estimated, you'd spend $5 million, or almost $5 million and $4 million in interest. So now let's take that down, let's put $4 million towards that and only finance 2.5 million. Well, we went from 4.77 million to 1.8 million in interest, and from 4 million down to 1.5 million. That's a $2.5 or $3 million savings over the life of that loan by using cash financing, and you ought to be using cash financing if you can for a big project that you'd already set money aside for a big capital project.
What's changing it from 30 to 20 years, same numbers? Or do you just normally have to finance at 20 years?
No, we can. For instance, if we only did the $2.5 million and want to do 20 years, you could. And you can see the debt payments are not huge, but the... Yeah.
And if you were at the $6 million, it saves what?
Okay, $6.5 million. $6 million might be a big bite for
six and a half
debt
six
payment.
And a
half. Or the whole thing?
Whatever, either way, okay. It's fine. I just comparing the $5 million is really what I was looking at. So it drops it by 2 million.
Yeah, so it went from 4.77 down to 3, and from 4 million down to 2.7. So
sure. Anytime
you can, well, you know there's a zillion ways to use money. What we need to find for you is all the alternatives and then pick the best combination that makes sense for our county over the short term and long term. Mm-hmm. So the good thing is you've got some flexibility with that $5 million there, even after you've taken care of your CIP for this year and some of these other things that we think are likely.
All right. Well,
so here's your motion for, if I can find out where I'm at. There we go. If you move this as it stands right like there, the resolution would, shoot. The resolution would change just to the point that the $377,000 that was there for capital depreciation fund would come out of that. This would include that's what you'd be approving, that new number less the $377,000.
So we'd be approving $2,648,750.
Well. Actually, the whole thing, the 9.4 million.
Oh, the whole thing.
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Seeger, Mr. Weaver, anything you want to pull out of that?
No, I think it's necessary pretty much what we have there. I'm satisfied with it.
Mr. Seeger?
The same. I am.
Okay, do we have a motion?
I move the resolution entitled Adoption of the FY 2017 through 2021 Capital Improvement Plan be adopted.
Second.
Second.
Motion's made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Reclassification of administration position. Ms. Parrish.
Mr. Chair, I would just like to, on behalf of staff, I would just like to say thank you very much for a budget season where you asked a lot of good questions. You were responsive to our needs. We really appreciate that. Anytime through these processes you've got an idea of what you'd see like to see differently, please let us know, because if we can make it easier for you, you make it a lot easier for us. We appreciate the
staff effort. Deserves a lot of credit for doing great work there, for sure.
All those folks.
Good evening. Thank you. Every time we have somebody leave, we do look at a new, at the position, look at what is needed and what's coming up. Mr. Stevens reviewed the position that Nell Carter is currently in because she will be leaving. And with a lot of the programs that are coming up and everything, the position took on more duties and are requiring higher skill level than what was initially 20-something years ago looked at for that position. So when he presented the new job description, I reviewed it. And it meets the equivalent to our senior program support assistant skills and job duties, which would bring it up one grade. Physical impact, depending on the level where we hire, because we had an employee that has been sitting in the position for some time, depending on what we would bring in, the max would be approximately $1,000 more to if we bring somebody in at the top level that we would be able to bring in without having to come back and ask for some more money. So what I'm recommending is that the position be reclassified to an administrative program specialist, which we classify at 1051. And from the senior program assistant. Any questions?
Anyone? I thought he retired already tonight. Okay, thank you very much. Do we have a motion?
I move the senior program support assistant 1021 public works position be reclassified to administrative program specialist 1051 public works.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you, ma'am. Oh, appointment to the Fluvanna Partnership for Aging at-large position. Mr. Nichols.
Sure, Mr. Chair, members of the board. We've got the final position to be filled here. There's 7 members on the Fluvanna Partnership for Aging, 1 from each district, and then 2 at-large. This is the final vacancy, and Ms. Nan Weichert has requested appointment to an at-large position on the Fluvanna Partnership for Aging, and so that's your candidate for that position.
Any questions from the board? Do we have a motion?
I move to appoint Nan Weichert to the Fluvanna County Partnership for Aging Committee at large position, replacing Deborah Foreman, with a term to begin immediately and to terminate December 31st, 2017.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. 5-0. All right, since there are no presentations tonight, we'll move to the consent agenda. Are there any items that need to be pulled from the consent agenda?
Well, I'm probably going to pull the bottom ones, several of those down through there, extra pay and all that stuff. Start off, though, basically with you. Report on the payroll. I had a few questions on that.
Okay. So you, that would be Mr. Dahl.
Just tell us what line, Mr. Weaver.
Give you the number. 59, line 59, Department of Criminal Justice Salvages. Sale of salvage, what are we doing there?
Mr. Weaver, so the Sheriff's Department, they had drug forfeiture vehicles that were seized. The county sold them through their auction site gov deals.
So that's what it cost us to
sell? No. That is what we sold the vehicles for. So we brought the revenue in, and we basically cut the money right back out because it's drug forfeiture money. It's not county money. So we were just selling.
Oh, okay. It just turned it around.
It was just pass-through money. We were just selling the vehicles for the drug forfeiture.
I couldn't figure out what you were doing with that. So, let's see. The next one is 420.
That's the maintenance service.
The new courthouse. Maintenance of $11,743. I guess I'm sort of wondering, I'm going back to our contracts that we approved several weeks ago on doing a lot of energy saving there for the courthouse. And it looks to me, are we doing this before we have the opportunity to save? That's the question.
This is ongoing maintenance for this building for the AC.
But just remember, though, even though it's paid to CII, we can only fit so many characters in there, so that may not just be just for this courthouse alone. Right. That could be for multiple CII
So bills. Other places throughout the county.
Correct. And like I said, I can, I'll research that. We'll give you a breakdown.
Yeah, well, that seemed mighty high, $11,000 for the courthouse when we were thinking about the same thing, some of the same things. Okay, and 455.
And 449, I think, is interesting, too.
Well, you talk about that when you get there.
455.
Dominion Virginia Power Electric Service, Old Stone Jail. What are we doing?
There's a lot of air conditioning needs in there. No, I'm sorry.
Mr. Weaver, that's going to be the same.
You roll them together again.
It just happens to be the top line there says Old Stone Jail Museum, so it was probably $300.
You're getting kind of expensive over there at the jail. Okay, that's all I have.
I thought the windows did the air conditioning there.
Yeah?
Yeah, the bars, right?
Yeah.
And that same is that the same thing with 449 for Cunningham School?
Yes.
CVEC 9000?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And any time under general services, we probably have easily like a dozen or so invoices that when we pay like Central Virginia or Dominion or whatever it is for that month or for that particular AP processing period, I mean, there's a lot of invoices in there. And what it does, it just rolls up under the one vendor and what the total amount was paid to that vendor for the month.
And it is conceivable we could produce the report where it would break it out by line, but you'd have a 45 or 50-page report each time. So anytime you highlight one, especially before the budget board meeting, if you've got a specific question, we'll be glad to have it answered in advance so we know that night whenever you've got, when something stands out like that.
And number 636, we're renovating the kitchen. Which kitchen is that?
That's at the community center. That's just the taking that wall out and getting the kitchen ready. There's no kitchen refurbishment
equipment
or things like that. No, it was just the original move and finishing that out.
636.
And they're still waiting on the
page 16. Raptor Electric was just part of it. There were probably more contractors involved with taking out the wall.
Well, Raffley just did electrical.
Yeah.
And there were other contractors that did different parts of it, yes.
And we'll look at that because there's let me see here. Well,
maybe it may be a roll up on that one.
That could be a roll up too, and I'll give you a breakdown of that one also.
Okay, we're ready for another one here as we come down on these agenda items.
Yes, sir.
You want to explain that one, where that money's going, the 540.
Sure. So Mr. Sawyer was detailed a number of months ago from grounds maintenance crew to Fort Union Sanitary District. We had a member at the Fort Union Sanitary District that was out on long-term family medical leave. They needed the additional help. Rather than hiring an additional person, we detailed Mr. Sawyer down to there so that he could do the work of the person that was gone, and we just left the vacancy on his end. So this end, they just didn't hire another person. He subsequently, when Mr., I think it was Mr. Morton who retired, Mr. Sawyer subsequently was promoted into that position, but during those 5 or 6 months, was it, of the time that he worked in there, he really gave the county a big hand by transferring to that department, and we didn't give him a pay bump when he did. We just wanted to give him a bonus for that extra work period time, and the 540 would equate to about $500 take-home pay for that six or seven month detail.
I didn't know Marvin retired.
Well, he's in the final throes of the medical retirement, I believe.
Okay.
And
he won't be coming back to work.
Funds to come from the public works personnel. In other words, that still comes from the Fort Union Sanitary District finances for the work he's doing over there.
No. His pay, we detailed it during that time. Did we reclassify?
Yes. When he was paid for the 6 months, 5 months that he was working for FUSDI, he was paid out of FUSDI.
Out of FUSDI funds. That's where I was going. Okay, let's look at W.
Okay. So a number of months ago, last July or August, September, October timeframe, Mr. Stevens was realigning public works staff to try to provide more efficiency and to provide better services for the county from a maintenance point of view. So he decreased the staffing in building housekeeping and decreased the staffing in grounds maintenance and put two people into building maintenance. So the two building maintenance specialists do now lots of the maintenance and work and things, and so we save on contract dollars. They can't do all the AC work or all the different things, but for instance, installing new doors or a new window or glazing this or wallboarding that, that's all done now by that building maintenance division. But Mr. Vaughn was hired into the building maintenance specialist position, and that was approved last spring.
I think we talked about some of this earlier.
Right, it was. Yeah. And then so when Mr. Bryant was detailed to that same department, Mr. Stevens went down to 4 in housekeeping, 4 in grounds instead of 5 and 5, and the two other positions didn't increase the positions, it just moved them to a different thing. So now you've got two building maintenance specialists. The problem is Mr. Bryant left a grounds supervisor position and he needs to move to a building maintenance specialist position. Same grade, 12, but different position description. So we need to create that second position description. It's the same position description as Mr. Vaughn that you approved last summer, but we have to actually classify him in that job. And so same number of people, 10, but split out into three divisions now, grounds, building maintenance, and housekeeping. And it's 4, 2, and 2.
Okay. X, Y, and Z.
Okay. On this one, we're down one full staff member in the planning department. And so normally when we decrease staff, if we're asking additional staff member to take on additional workload of two people and work some additional tasks, like for instance tonight, Mr. Newman did the briefing and did all the project work on that SUP. Normally that would be our senior planner that does that. So we propose to provide some additional funding during the period of the vacancy until we hire the new person. So that employee who takes on the extra duties gets compensated for it.
Do you not fill in for individuals? Do you always have to get paid every time that you fill in for somebody?
Nope. And I wouldn't ask for it for every time. Lots of times somebody's gone for 2 or 3 weeks or whatever, but this is a lengthy period of time. The other one that's coming after this may be 6 or 8 months. And so we either have to hire somebody new to come in.
Be 6 or 8 months?
Yeah, for the follow-on one. I'll explain that in a minute. No, for the next one after this one.
Well, it's sort of.
Okay.
That does bother me to think that, well, yeah, I got to take on extra duty. We all take on through our life. We always pinch hit for somebody else while they're sick or ill or having babies or whatever, you know. So that bothers me. Also on the next one down also.
Well, now, Mr. Weaver, just as an explanation, this has been the norm since I got here 4 years ago. I don't know what it was like before, but this is the norm. When we've got a significant vacancy and somebody takes on extra duties, we use a very small portion of the amount of money that we're saving because of the vacancy and use that to compensate an individual. So the $47,000 a year salary plus benefits that we're saving over the month, 2 months, 3 months it's vacant. We're taking a very small portion of that weekly, of the weekly dollars, and applying it to person to give them some extra compensation for extra duties, even though the county's still saving a significant amount of money because of the vacancy at the time.
How about we think about if Mr. Newman is capable of taking this position on or filling in, give him more money and not hire a senior planner. We've had less SUPs, less rezonings than we've had in the past. Mm-hmm. So
except,
maybe they can handle it.
Sure, except that Mr. Newman is already applied for that senior planner position. Mm-hmm. We have a number of candidates out there. Once we get ready to do the interviews, we'll see if he's the appropriate candidate, and we may not backfill one. But we have to see what the candidate pool is yet. And he's, remember, a junior planner who's directly out of college and has no experience, no work experience before he got here. And he's only been here for 6 or 8 months. No, 6 months. So think of it from this perspective. If in the planning department, essentially you've got two folks. You've got some administrative help, but you've got two folks. You've got the three folks. You've got the planning and zoning administrator, a senior planner, and a junior planner. So now we've got a vacancy of that senior planner. So let's assume that Mr. Newman moved to that senior planner position and we didn't fill the backfill because he got some extra money and we didn't backfill it. Now when your planner leaves, the one that has the most experience, you're really in a hurt locker because now you've got a junior planner that's directly out of college that has to cover for maybe months until you hire someone else in, and there's no one else to cover that. There's no one else capable on county staff to cover what Jason Stewart does because that's a pretty highly skilled requirement. And when you're a small department, you can only go so thin before there's a catastrophic problem when someone's out for 6 months for illness or someone leaves to go to another position or moves across the country. And in this case, I wouldn't want to take the risk and recommend to the county to take the risk of leaving the senior position vacant because in the absence of the planning director, you are in big trouble and you'd have to hire contract staff to come in and help during that time. There's just not enough expertise.
I think we should think about it.
I think about it every single time there's a vacancy, and we don't make any quick decisions on any vacancy. In this case, we're waiting to see what the candidates are, we're waiting to see what the status of our planning and zoning administrator is, and we're waiting to see what qualifications fill. If Mr. Newman ends up being the best qualified and moves up to senior planner and we're confident that he can do it, then maybe we'll be okay for a while. But I just don't know at this point. And in the meantime, you've got a significant period of time, 2 or 3 or 4 months, where somebody's taken on significant extra duties and we're not paying for that other position because it's vacant. But there's never a time that I will come to you and ask you to fill a vacancy if I didn't believe it's the absolute right, most efficient way to do business for Flavanna County. I don't backfill those positions. My staff hears it in spades and they're probably tired of hearing it. Every single time there's a vacancy is when you look at your organizational structure, your efficiency, the way you're organized, what you want to hire or don't hire, and we've changed flavors on lots of positions in the last 4 years to get a better skill mix that allowed us to not have to hire more people as our workload is increasing. One of the things that Mr. Stevens just did with this change in that position in his department, he's pre-planned for the Zion Crossroads water system and for FUSD, so we've got somebody that can do billings without having to hire billings and the payments and things and collections without having to hire an additional person to do those when the extra work comes on, because he's put that skill set in the new person. Much cheaper than hiring a second person. So same in this case. Anyway, that's the rationale.
Okay, and then the last one down there.
Yes, sir.
A...
In this case, kind of the same story, except that the other person is going to be out on a very extended medical leave that just popped up early last week, and we don't know what the member's out surgical status will be, or how long the recovery will be, but we expect some extensive surgery, and there will have to be some extra duties picked up. Now, remember, the other building inspector that's normally under Mr. Lester, that position is still vacant. We've committed not to hiring that until the new building official is on board, gets a chance to look at the lay of the land, check out staffing, and figure out what the best, most efficient mix for his department is. He starts next Monday, and so we'll have a pretty good idea in a couple weeks where we are. But right now, you've got a department of you've got four people that are really down to two people, and what happens if you have a vacancy or somebody else goes out on medical leave or goes on vacation? Right now, nobody can take any vacation. There's not a chance to be off because we're two down in a very small department. But anyway, we're not going to hire that until Mr. Moldovan gets on board and does an assessment and gives us his recommendation on what he thinks. But again, this is duties, additional duties during a period of very short staffing because of a retirement and a transfer to the school system and a medical leave. And it's a very small percentage of the dollars that are saved because we're not paying the salaries. So,
yeah, I thought this was a necessary discussion.
Yes, sir. Really. No, I completely appreciate it. If I can't answer your questions or address those things, then I shouldn't be asking for this stuff. So I welcome the questions, and I think it's important for sure. The public to hear it, too.
Okay, that's all I have. Are you ready for a motion?
Absolutely, sir.
You didn't go to sleep?
No, sir.
Okay.
I was on top of it.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the consent agenda P through A, with the accounts payable and payroll to be ratified for March 2016 in the amount of $1,751,884.42.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. 5-0. There is no unfinished business, so we will move forward with new business. Mrs. Booker.
All right. I know that there are several counties that rotate their chair, and I think Louisa rotates theirs every year. This gives everybody, of course, who wants to be chair, an opportunity to be chair, and it cuts down on, if you want to be chair, of trying to solicit someone to vote for you. Because I remember in 2012 when I was in the hospital, and it was in January with the first meeting, and I wanted a certain person to be the chair. So I worked really hard with, I need to be able to vote. So I called in my vote. Mr. Sheridan came in off his sick bed to vote so that he could be chair. He or I or anyone else shouldn't have to do that. We should be able to, and I think it cuts down on division. It brings more unity. I don't know, 2 years may rotate well for us, because the first year you're just getting your feet wet, and 2 years, they only do one, but it's seven of them. And then I planned mostly my personal life around what I do for the county. But my personal life is different from other people because I don't have children and I don't have a husband and I live by myself, so I can do more. But in January has been opportunities that I could have done some things, but I couldn't do them because I needed to be here. I felt it was my duty to be here when we make the vote on the chairperson. I know I've talked to a couple of other supervisors that are changing their procedure too to rotation. Now, attorney Fred Payne sent me the regulations, and I was almost like, how can you get around the regulations, the statute? Because the statute says that you elect a chair and a vice chair. But I don't know how the other counties do it unless they vote on the rotation and then in January they know who's up for chair and they vote on the chair. So I don't know how other people are doing it.
I think they do it maybe in Charlottesville too. I'm not sure. But I'm happy the way that it is. I think it's always worked out fine. I don't have any problem with it the way that it is now. I don't, you know.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is I have also observed or felt like we've been more of a division because of the way we sit. Because I know a lot of times Mike, you don't mean this. I didn't throw
I did it one time, Ms. Booker.
He'll say, what do y'all say? And I'm saying, wait a minute, who is y'all over here? I'm Moselle.
One time I referred to him as the people to my left and the people to my right.
What do y'all think?
Not that had anything to do with the politics.
And a lot of people, but it appears to be politics. It may not be politics.
Maybe we should put the chair on the end.
You know, a lot of people, they rotate the people. You sit beside a certain person a certain amount of time. Those are big boards. But
still happy the way everything is. So if you all want to change it, it's up to you. I'm happy with the way things are.
I don't think Mr. Payne addressed Mrs. Booker's question. Terms of it's done so.
The statute is very clear, and it's section 15.2-1422, and it reads as follows, and I quote, unless the chairman or mayor is elected by popular vote, every governing body at its first meeting after taking office shall elect one of its members as presiding officer. Now, there are various things you can do. You can have different terms of chairmanship. You don't have to do it every year. You can have a chairman that sits for 2 years or 3 years. He cannot be elected beyond his term in office. But in the event, that's what the statute says.
I'm sorry, I'm just last Wednesday's meeting.
Well, I mean, say for example that I don't remember how many years Mr. Sheridan has, but let's say he had 2 years to go in his term. You could have elected him for a two-year term.
Sure.
You don't have to have a one-year term. If you don't specify the term, it is 1 year. Now, one thing that the statute also makes clear is that the chairman and vice chairman serve until their replacements have been so selected and qualified. So, for example, you know, let's say you had your annual meeting in January and something happened where, well, let's say you didn't have a full complement. You only had three people, or maybe you didn't have a quorum. That wouldn't mean you don't have a chairman. Last year's chairman continues until the new guy is chosen. So you can do it that way. You can't do it automatically. You can't come in 2016 and say, we elect Mike Sheridan as chairman for this year, and Tony O'Brien will be next year, and Don Weaver will be the year after that.
Well, how does Louisa do it?
I don't know how Louisa does it. My guess is what they
do. Mr. Barnes served as the chairman for quite a while.
No, he didn't. Not Mr. Barnes.
Two years.
Then Willie Gentry.
I remember back.
Willie Gentry
six, eight years ago.
Willie Gentry knew he was going to be chair next.
What I'm familiar with is that you can do it informally, where you have an understanding.
Right.
Let's say you do it by seniority.
Right.
And so Mr. Weaver is chosen as chairman, and Mrs. Booker is the second most senior member. So it's understood that she would be selected, but that's an informal arrangement.
And I will tell you
that, to give you one example, I don't remember if it was a couple of years ago. There was in Albemarle, they had an arrangement of that sort, and I don't know exactly whether it was exactly the same, but it was substantially that. And they had a deadlock on replacing the, having the rotation go straight up, and the rotation didn't happen. There was another selection, and I don't remember all the details about
it.
Right.
Most of them are gone.
Hard feelings when you have to. I want to be chairman. Would you vote for me, Mike? I want to be. I think that it's only five of us. I just don't think we need to be soliciting.
You would solicit people to get to vote for you to be chair. You would do
yes,
that.
Yes, you do. Well, you would. You call Mike. Would you like to be the chair?
But he didn't solicit me.
Well, but he had to. Right, he asked me. I mean, you're gonna. He wants to be. If he wants to be chair,
Mr. Booker, will you vote for
he
me?
Didn't, he didn't come to me and ask it. I asked him if he would.
I didn't say he solicited you.
Well, that's, but, you said
but you would,
solicit.
But you would have to. You would have to.
I don't see the big deal.
I do.
Well, so to be clear, you're saying that you can make informal arrangements, but the statute is pretty direct in the sense that it's basically saying unless the term specified is greater than a year, that then, you know, it's done at the
yearly
organizational meeting on a yearly
statute case. Says every governing body shall shall elect
so,
one
so,
of its
so there's no
number.
Formal way to change that, as Mrs. Booker is suggesting. You know, I think Mrs. Booker is raising some concerns, and you know, to having a, you know, the first year and going through it, and I guess I don't even remember the second year.
Some people won't.
It's hard to.
But you know, the first year you don't really know any better, right? You don't know any better.
You may not ever begin to get to be.
Well, that maybe not.
And I think it might should be.
maybe it's a disadvantage to be the chair. So. I know Mr. Weaver stays away from it, so. you know, I think that there is always it's always a positive thing when there's discussion and agreement beforehand. I felt like the way the last and I don't want to speak specifically to 1 year, but because I don't really think of the other years as I don't have as much clarity on the other years as to how that process went. I know that my first year, I just kind of defer to what the rest of the board would do because I've literally been on the board for 10 minutes, right? So what else are you going to do at that point in time? You know, maybe some people come in with a very clear agenda, but I like to be somebody who walks in and gets to know the people and have a sense for what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. So it does create kind of a disadvantage in a board of five people when you have an incoming board member who is more than likely to defer from that standpoint, and I didn't think there was a lot of discussion and or solicitation as to, you know, how that process might work and whether the outcome would have been the same or not. The process, I think, was somewhat damaging in this particular case. And so, you know, whether we rotate chairs or whether we, you know, have an informal process, as mentioned, or something along those lines, my main thing would be that it's a much more open discussion among the board members in advance, and you know, granted that's soliciting talk. You can look at it as it's from the term of soliciting, or you can look at it from the term of talking. But I think that for the good of the body of the Fluvanna County Board, having members speak about how and why they think they're going to do and what they're going to do as chair should be part of the process that we go through, and that just didn't happen. So that would be my recommendation, that we as a group decide that we go through that in the upcoming year to basically ask people who's interested in being chair and what's your vision for being the chair, because really that's what we all want together from that standpoint.
Why wasn't this brought up last year?
Do you mean at the beginning of this year? Well, quite frankly, because there wasn't discussion about it and it was sort of a foregone conclusion. That's why I didn't.
No, Moselle was chair last year, so why wasn't it brought up last year?
No, I bought
rotation.
You could make the assumptions that it was, you know.
The one thing I'll say about the rotation, and this is one thing that I heard one of the groups that does it, that's a five-member board. The unfair thing about that is that it always will be one member that if they only serve 4 years, will never be the chair. Because there are five members.
Oh, you make the
rotation. I forget.
So that everybody will.
No, you can't.
You can't.
Oh, that's right.
Well, in theory, yeah, you can't.
I mean, that to me was. But I remember them saying that was the one thing that they had issues with.
If you're staggering the board, you still make it within that 6 year period. So.
And to the point of the chair position, Roberts has pretty clear guidelines on what a chair does.
Right.
And
which is just. Run the meeting. That's what it really boils down to.
Stays above the fray, keeps opinion out of it until the end, runs the meeting. There's a pattern to follow. And that's what the chair is intended to do, is to keep you all on track.
And I agree that that's what Robert Rules of Order specifies and you know, properly managed, and I think for the most part our board manages it, that's easy to control. I've been on other boards where chairs don't act in that manner, and that can be disruptive, and perhaps Levana's experienced that as well, too. So, you know, that, but But there, it's an important role, and you know, the vision, the interaction, the working relationship with staff, all those things kind of matter. And I just, to me, I was not satisfied with the way that process went in terms of board discussion, not necessarily in terms of the outcome, but just in terms of board discussion. So that's just my thoughts on the matter.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Having gone through the new business, we'll now move to our second round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Anyone wishing to address the board at this time? Seeing no one wishing to speak, we will close the first, the second round of public comment. We do not have closed sessions.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Yeah.
We do have closed session. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Weaver.
Mr. Chair, I move the Blue Vanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A.1, Section 2.2-3711A.3, Section 2.2-3711A.7 of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended, for the purpose of discussing personnel, real estate, and legal matters.
Second.
We have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We are now in closed session. All right.
Tell me. You need this, Fred.
Right. I need to borrow ink and write this thing in.
Get out of here. I can stay after.
Getting some issues.
Sign all this.
All righty. I got to bring us back to the closed session. Mr. Weaver.
Yes, sir. I'm getting straightened out here. See, that goes back. Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting to be adjourned. The Blue Vanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion of which the closed meeting was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting. A second and a recorded vote is needed.
I second your motion.
We have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. And this needs a recorded vote. Ms. Seeger?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Yes.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 5-0. 5-0. Mr. O'Brien, yes. Have anything else you want to add right now?
No, I'm good.
Motion to adjourn.
Oh, motion to adjourn? Oh, yeah.
Okay. I have a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Booker, or motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. Have a lovely
church
evening.
We tried.